All right, welcome back to episode 24 of the Weekend Warrior Podcast. It is October 19th. You're probably listening on October 20th or perhaps later. Who knows? We have some interesting stuff for you today. We're talking some Celtics. We're talking some Patriots. We may even talk a little bit of Major League Baseball, shockingly, which is interesting. We'll do a little bit of that, perhaps. We have Adam Kaufman joining the show today, which is pretty exciting. Big Celtics guy, so we're excited to have him on the show. That'll be coming up pretty soon. So stay tuned, and let's get into it. All right, so the first story, I guess, the biggest story is the Gordon Hayward thing, man. That was just...
Yeah.
Wow.
That sucked. Yeah.
6 minutes into the season, and you're like, well, that season lasted 6 freaking minutes.
So at the end of the year, he's going to average 2 points a game.
There you go.
Not worth the money.
No, probably not. You're right. No. Although, if you average that out on a 48-minute basis, right? That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good.
That's true, yeah.
Right? Then that's 18 points. Well, that's still 18 points, but even still, you know, not bad. Well, decent. Yeah, but that was just awful.
Honestly,
just awful.
I haven't seen it. I like turned away for a minute, and then I came back, and like I thought someone got. I mean, he got really hurt, but I thought someone like died or like had a heart attack or something on the floor. But then I like saw a picture of it, and I kind of watched it because I'm squeamish with that stuff. But
it was pretty gruesome.
Yeah,
it was pretty gruesome. It's not one of the. I mean, it's not the worst one I've ever seen.
Compare it to, like, Kevin Ware.
Well, see, Kevin Ware is different because his bone was sticking out of his leg.
True. Same with Joe Theismann. That's the worst.
Joe Theismann's one of the worst ones ever. And it's not... It's interesting with Joe Theismann because the Joe Theismann one was not... Like, if you're not looking close, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, right. There's reverse angle.
But it's it's wild because it's his femur. Like, your femur is not supposed to move like that.
No.
You know? And there have been some crazy ones, like the Chris Conley one a few weeks ago on Monday Night Football where he tore his Achilles. Mm-hmm. I've never seen something like that where you could actually physically see his Achilles pop. And you're like, whoa, that was nasty, you know? The Willis McGahee one's always stuck out in my mind.
Yeah, that was
where he's running in and his knee just crumbles.
Garrison Hurst had a bad one.
Yep.
In the playoffs one
year. Rodney Harrison against the Steelers back in I don't even know what year that was. 08 maybe that might have been. I think it was 08. I think, although I might be wrong about the timeline, it was one of those years, man. But that was nasty. That was all three of the tendons or the ligaments in his knee. Nasty. I mean, there have been some really, really bad ones. Obviously, you know, the Paul George one where his knee gets dislocated. And
still
stuff.
Haven't watched it.
I mean, some of them are just nasty. But...
Anderson Silva in UFC, that was a bad
one. Oh, my God, dude, where his leg just... Did you really pass out?
I passed out in the bathroom at the Charlie Horse.
Oh, my God.
His leg wrapped around Chris Wyman's leg like a Twizzler.
That was pretty nasty. The fact that he passed out, though, is wild.
They kept showing the replay, and the fact I just went to the bathroom. I thought I'd be okay.
The fact that you
woke
admitted
up on
that.
The floor in the
stall. Oh, my God, dude. That's a bad place to pass out. You may have been dead. You're lucky you survived that. That's a bad place to pass out, man. And you just admitted that on air, so nice work.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of balls there, my friend.
Hey.
So
integrity.
Yeah, true. Very true. I'll tell you what, man. That was it was pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty. You know, your leg's not supposed to move like that, obviously. And it just caught, you know, it's one of those weird things. It's just a freak accident. You know, you just...
Was it, though? Because I've heard conspiracy theories that Crowder kind of... Oh,
no. Listen, even if Crowder had...
He has a prior... We have, like, an alibi from...
I know, but even if Crowder had bumped him, there's no way you could have ever predicted that happen. You know, it's like... If you look at the replay, actually, LeBron falls awkwardly, too.
Yeah.
He just happened to catch himself. Mm-hmm. And Hayward, you know, literally just caught the toe of his left foot. And because his toe caught, if he had been, you know, 2 inches higher above the ground, his foot keeps going and he doesn't catch his toe on the ground. And he just happened to catch his toe on the ground, so his foot stayed there and he just dropped straight on it.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, it was pretty nasty.
For the rest of the game, I was like, stop taking jump shots.
Well, it was just, you looked at it and I was sick to my stomach. I'm like, how do these guys keep going? And the fact that they fought back and really fought through it, I was pretty impressed with. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, good for them, you know, to do that. It's a young team, and, you know, clearly they were expecting him to be one of, if not their best player.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for them to fight back, it showed me a lot. And so we'll see. Clearly, it tempers the expectations, and we'll get into that with Adam when he comes on the show. But, you know, changes the entire season 5 minutes in.
To me, this is where the Avery Bradley trade hurts.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I know it's, you know, they needed a big guy, but they got Marcus Morris. We'll see how he does, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just such an Avery Bradley fan that I didn't want
to trade it. Oh, look, I hate the fact that Avery Bradley goes. And I will say, one of the interesting things about Avery Bradley, and Coley from Barstool had an awesome thread on Twitter, which was fantastic. And if you haven't read it, you should go back and try to find it. I think he's at Coley Mick is his Twitter handle. And he just basically goes on a tirade against IT. And IT just went on this whole thing about how the Celtics weren't loyal and screw you and this mm-hmm. and that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, wait a second. He lobbied to get Hayward in here. And to get Hayward in, they essentially had to trade Bradley to get Hayward in. And so it was okay for the Celtics to not be loyal to Avery Bradley, who, by the way, has been here longer and has probably given more to this team than Isaiah Thomas has. And, you know, it was okay for them to not be loyal to Avery Bradley because it was helping Isaiah Thomas. But as soon as the Celtics saw a better opportunity and got rid of Isaiah Thomas, it wasn't okay anymore. You know, and so it's just like one of those things where you're like, well, wait a second, bud. Like, you know, you were loyal, apparently, yeah. to Avery Bradley, but then all of a sudden you weren't. And it's like, well, you know, stop playing this whole card and everything like that. And look, yeah. rightfully so, look, if Isaiah Thomas at the end of the year were to go out and someone were to offer him max money and the Celtics didn't offer it, he's going to that. I'm sorry, but that's where he's going to go. Like, and he should. Mm-hmm. You should take all the money you get, and that's the way it goes. And both sides are going to be selfish because it's a business. And that's the way it works. And stop thinking that, you know, a team's going to be loyal to you just because they're going to be loyal. You know, and as a player, if you think it's in your best interest to stay and be loyal because you think you can win, like Tom Brady has been loyal to the Patriots because it's in his best interest.
Yeah.
He knows if he sticks with Belichick and he sticks with Kraft, he's going to be successful. And so it's like it's in his best interest to take a little bit less money to play for the Patriots and be dominant and be able to do the things that he wants to do. You know, and so it makes sense for him. It may not make sense for all these guys. But, you know, when the team turns around and does it to you, don't try to lobby the fans to be on your side because you're not happy you got traded. Like, that's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah. I've never seen anyone so disappointed that they got traded.
It's unbelievable.
Like, he can't go an interview without talking about it.
It's unreal, man. And I will say, I was very happy to see, you know, Hayward goes down and Thomas spent a lot of time recruiting him, mm-hmm. and for him to go in the locker room and be with him and, you know, just kind of give him, you know, just to be there for him, to give him a little bit of support, I thought was really classy. LeBron going in, I thought was super classy. Look, I hate LeBron as much as the next Boston fan, but there's a few things you can't deny about LeBron. Number one, he's probably the greatest player of all time, but number two... Yeah, I know, but I know we don't agree on that. But nevertheless, we'll just pretend like you don't agree on that. So we'll scrub that from the record. I'll edit that out later. I won't, please. But maybe I'll pretend to edit that out later. I do the editing, so he doesn't know what the hell happened. So
I don't even listen to the show.
But I know. Yeah, get the downloads up, man. But you know, the other thing about LeBron is that he genuinely does seem to be like a good guy. You know, I know everything is for the brand, and he's all about his brand and everything mm-hmm. like that. And I get that. But he does seem to be like a genuinely decent guy.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
Never hear him getting in trouble or anything. Yeah. He doesn't have a gambling issue like Jordan
right.
does.
Right. Cheating on his wife like a bunch of other guys yeah. have. So, and maybe he is, but we haven't heard about it, you know, and so whatever. So,
yeah, like
as far as we know, he seems like a good guy. He went in and was with Hayward a little bit and was talking about it after the game and, you know, so I thought that was nice to see from a guy like that as well. So, yeah. you know, Kobe came out and a bunch of people came out and just were all in support of Hayward, which was nice to see. You never want to see something like that happen, obviously. So we'll see. And you know, we'll see what happens the rest of the year and we'll temper the expectations. But we'll kind of let Adam talk about that. He's more of the Celtics expert, certainly, than we are. So I guess with that being said, let's just get right into the interview. So yeah. Enjoy the interview. I think it came out really good. So here we go. All right, so joining us on the show is the morning anchor on the WBZ 1030 News and the host of Celtics at 7 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Adam Kaufman. Welcome to the show, Adam.
What's up, guys?
How's it going? So, man, crazy first few games for the Celtics. Obviously, Hayward getting hurt changes pretty much everything about the season. What do you think, expectation-wise, we should be looking at right now for them?
Well, like you said, the season's totally upside down right now. Not to say that they go from being a contender, even a favorite, to, I don't know about the NBA Finals. They were certainly in that conversation, not to win it, beat Golden State, but to potentially beat the Cavs and get there. And most people, at a minimum, penciled them in to reach the conference finals to go against, presumably, Cleveland. But now, it's hard to say. They're certainly not a team that's going to fall out of the playoff race. We're still talking about the Eastern Conference here. But they're not, in all likelihood, going to win 50-plus games anymore. Now, it should still be mid to high 40s if everybody else stays healthy. And I know they're already dealing with other injuries, like Aaron Baines being a little banged up, though he's playing. Marcus Morris hasn't made his Boston debut yet. But this is a club that should still, as far as I see it, it's, you know, before they were kind of in that Cleveland tier with the East. Now it's more of a conversation with, are they able to leapfrog, truly contend with the likes of Washington, of Milwaukee, of Toronto? And so they're no guarantee for top four seed home court advantage anymore. Now you're going to be wrestling for that seed and trying to stay out of that 5-6 hole. But they're absolutely still a playoff team, unless, God forbid, Kyrie goes down too.
Right. Well, then you're really in trouble. But yeah. So curiosity for me, what do you think the difference is between this team and then last year's team? Obviously, they haven't gelled yet. You know, 11 new guys. Well, 10 new guys now with Hayward being out. But you know, the whole team is basically new. But as far as, I mean, I look at it and just say, well, if Kyrie's an improvement over IT and Brown's better than he was last year, and you know, if Tatum can step in and play 75% of what Crawford is, you know, should we expect the same type of team? Now, maybe they, you know, maybe they're missing some stuff, obviously, but should we expect the same type of look from this team as we did last year, or what do you think about that?
You can compare it in a lot of different ways. I mean, yes, they've lost Isaiah Thomas, and Kyrie is absolutely a better player. Is he the same kind of heart and soul guy that Isaiah was? That remains to be seen. I doubt it, quite frankly. And that's one of the things that I was skeptical about as it concerned the trade to begin with. You've also lost Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, two of your best defenders, most certainly on the perimeter. Bradley continuing to come into his own as a scorer as well, a guy that can give you 20 points in any given night and average 17, 18. So that's a loss. There, you know, Gordon Hayward was going to obviously cover that up as an all-star and a better player. So that is different. That's a significant difference from last year's team when you don't have either one of those guys. Now, for me, how are they going to play? Yeah, they're going to play similar. They're going to play faster. They're going to play at an even higher pace if they can. If everybody, all these new guys, as you alluded to, are able to kind of get up to speed. And that's a big ask, because it's not just like a couple of years ago, that 2015 season where a lot of guys were kind of being put together on the fly. I think in season, Danny Ainge made something ridiculous, like 7 trades, 11 for the calendar year. Was absurd. You didn't have the cohesiveness then that you did last year, and you're not going to have it this year either with everybody coming in virtually new. You only have four returning players from last year in Horford, in Brown, in Rozier, and in Smart. And after that, it's 10 new guys, maybe 11 or 12 if they, you know, ultimately use that designated injury exception on Hayward and add another free agent, or use that other roster spot on another guy, or trade for a guy, whatever. I mean, you get the point here. There's a lack of cohesiveness. Now, on the whole, though, I think they're not only younger, they're longer, bigger, faster, quicker, more athletic than they were last year, even with the guys they had on that team. So I still think the possible ceiling, while not as high, is high. This team can, while it won't be favored, it can still reach the Eastern Conference Finals. That's not all of a sudden out of the question. You hit on Jaylen Brown, you're right. He's looked great the first couple of games. He's a year older, still 20, but has clearly taking strides in his game offensively, and will continue to as he gets big minutes as the season moves along. Jason Tatum at 19 is going to be in the rookie of the year conversation if he sees the kind of minutes that he has the first couple of days and continues to start around or in place of at times of Marcus Morris. But again, you know, you lose some emotional leadership last year in Thomas, in Bradley, in Crowder. You lose the talent of Hayward that you expected to have. And there are going to be some growing pains with this club, which is why we shouldn't be surprised that they're 0-2 right now.
And Adam, I know hindsight's 20/20, but do you think it was maybe too early to break up the team from the last 2 years?
No, I don't. I mean, of course, you know, there's an emotional attachment to a lot of those players that I had, that I think a lot of fans had. When you see, you know, kind of this plucky bunch that had some talent but wasn't the most talented and still win the top seed in the East and win 53 games and surprise a lot of people and get to the conference finals, and the way obviously everything happened in the postseason and rallying around Isaiah after the tragic loss of his sister, it was just that season last year, for oh so many reasons, even though it didn't end with a trip to the NBA Finals or even, quite frankly, a respectable effort in the conference finals, was a really special group and was a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, it's not easy not having that anymore, but they had a ceiling. You know, you knew going into that year, you knew throughout the year, you knew even as they were winning that top seed that, okay, well, I mean, we're still not on the same playing field as the Cavaliers. We need to do something here if we're going to get there, which is why, you know, dial it back a few days even, and everybody on this team outside of Morris is healthy. I've been saying, look, the lack of continuity, don't be surprised if they take a slight step back in terms of regular season wins. Maybe it's not 53, maybe it's 51, 52, but they're more poised, they're better built for a deeper playoff run, to be competitive with the Cavs, to beat the Cavs potentially, and to get to the NBA Finals, and then, like anybody else, get humiliated by the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Now, that ceiling isn't there for this team, unfortunately, because there's no way to sugarcoat it. They lost an all-star player in his prime who I projected, this is my opinion, I don't know if this was shared by a lot of people, but I felt strongly about it. Gordon Hayward was going to be the best all-around player on this team. Best defensively?
Yeah,
no.
I can see that.
Best offensively? Mm-hmm. No. But best two-way player? Absolutely. And yeah, they're going to miss that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, what's interesting, and I we're kind of tossing this one around over here, but, you know, I'm wondering what your take is on it, if that the injury, while obviously it's terrible and you don't want to see it happen and because of this year and everything, but, you know, I wonder if it's almost, I don't want to say a blessing in disguise, but almost could prepare them well for the future, because, you know, if Brown can really take that next step this year and become that superstar level player, and if Tatum, like you said, is going to see the minutes he sees, it looks like he's ahead of Brown where Brown was last year. If Tatum can take that step and kind of get to where Brown is or more next year, do you think maybe then when Hayward comes back next year, if they're more poised to maybe make a run at actually winning the finals next year with those two guys being where they are because of the playing time they've been getting because of Hayward's injury?
So here's how I look at that, and I've thought a lot about that. It's a question that's going to obviously be easier to answer in hindsight at this time next year, when conceivably Gordon Hayward is healthy and into his first, you know, full season,
right,
actually being on the court for the Celtics. Then we'll be able to say, man, you know what? Like, that sucked. That was awful along the way, and it sort of feels like a lost year while you've got Kyrie under contract, and now he's in his contract year and all of that. But the growth for Jaylen Brown, for Jason Tatum, for continued growth for Marcus Smart, who's now going to start most games and not be that sixth man, for you know, younger players like Daniel Tice, like Semi Ojeleye, like all of these guys, they're going to take on increased roles than they projected to, obviously, with a healthy Gordon Hayward, with a healthy Marcus Morris these first couple of games where he hasn't played, and other injuries are going to strike as well. On a much, this right here is I'm sure you guys will understand this, and Patriots fans will understand this. This is that the grander scale of that conversation that many of us were having with Deflategate and Tom Brady, where it was, boy, you never want to lose Tom Brady for four games. That's a quarter of your year. That totally blows. But at the same time, we got to look at Jimmy Garoppolo, and we're going to evaluate his talent and his trade value, and this is maybe a look into the future, and this is a look at real games that mean something for the coaching staff, not preseason or garbage time. And so was this a blessing in disguise? You know, that conversation was being had so often around that four-game ban for Tom Brady. Well, now, like you said, we're going to be, over the course of the year, potentially kind of having that as it relates to Gordon Hayward. So, you know, do I feel that way now? No, because now I'm still butthurt over the fact that Gordon Hayward won't be on the court this season. But in a few months, as we watch Brown potentially, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to be an all-star, but is it out of the realm or even unlikely for him to be comeback player of the year or most improved player, I should say, not comeback player, most improved player? Of course not. Like, he could absolutely be that. Could Marcus Smart, if he continues in that six-man role, be six-man of the year? Absolutely. Could Jason Tatum, if he plays these kind of minutes, be rookie of the year? Absolutely. So it is possible that over time we will view it that way. I'm just not quite ready to.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you there. It's a little early, but, you know, trying to do a little spin zone there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I get it.
But now, is there a guy on the team who you see maybe is flying a little bit under the radar, but could be one of those guys that just kind of surprises us this year that, you know, maybe he's not the best player on the team, but kind of the fans fall in love with him and he becomes a fan favorite? You know, do you see, or what guy do you think will kind of take that role this year, do you think?
I think there are a few, you know, and I guess just to quickly highlight them, maybe least obvious to most, you know, Daniel Tice, who the organization's high on. Danny Ainge on the eve of the season was saying he's a 25-year-old rookie that plays like a 30-year-old veteran. You know, he just seems, I know he didn't get into that Cleveland game, but he looked all right in that second contest against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, he's big, he can play tough, he can stretch the floor, he's not overly physical or bruising or anything like that, but he can rebound, and this team clearly has a lack of ability on the glass that he can come in and fill. I think he's going to really be a popular player and is going to be a regular member of the rotation in time. A guy who I think is going to be a total fan favorite, kind of along the lines of a Leon Poe, if you can think back a decade ago, is Semi Ojeleye. I think Ojeleye is going to, from the leadership that he takes on, and who, you remember what Jaylen Brown said immediately after that Gordon Hayward injury, when the entire Celtics team huddled, you know, they got into a big group huddle around him and said a prayer. It was Semi Ojeleye, the rookie in his first professional game out of Southern Methodist, that was leading that prayer. I mean, that's incredible to me. It's fascinating to me. And the way he plays on the court, again, you know, a guy that can hit the occasional three. He's got scoring talent, put up tons of points in college after transferring from Duke, and is you know, a highly touted second-round guy that shouldn't have fallen to the second round in the first place. I think he is someone that, and again, Brad Stevens said, out of summer league, he's someone that could be in our rotation right away because of his defensive ability. I think fans are going to love him. He's going to be an X factor. And then the most obvious is Terry Rozier. And, you know, you got a taste of it against the Bucks, what he was doing in place of Smart, leading that second unit at 15 points, I think 7 rebounds, 6 assists, couple steals, didn't even crack 30 minutes. He's a guy that now, with the extra minutes, the increased minutes that are coming his way, he's going to put up some numbers and is going to be a lockdown defender. You know, when you see him and Smart on court at the same time, it's going to be something that's really entertaining to watch. Those two guys could start on a lot of teams in the NBA. They could be a starting backcourt on a lot of teams. And the fact that the Celtics have them in borderline reserve roles, heavy minutes, but reserve roles, I think is something that fans are going to really take notice of this year as you start to see them more frequently.
Yeah, it's funny. He, back in the playoffs, we were talking about how he reminds me a lot of Rondo, just playing style. You know, like, it's one of those things where, like, he's just so long and athletic, and he's, you know, he's around the ball, and he's jumping up out of the pack to get rebounds, and so, you know, maybe not shooting or everything, but just playing style-wise, he just looks to me like Rondo, you know?
Yeah, I can see some of that. I mean, he's not as flashy, obviously, and not as much of an enigma even on the court, and I think he's probably a better shooter, but in terms of the intensity maybe with which he plays, I can certainly see some of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, just to kind of wrap it up here, what do you think we should look for in the next few weeks, just as a kind of a glimmer of hope? Because clearly, you know, they started out 0-2, a big, you know, kick in the nuts the first game when Hayward goes down, and they lose to the Bucks last night. And so, you know, what do you think we should look for in the next few weeks to hopefully, you know, turn this team around?
Well, you know, it's hard to let's you know, live in make-believe land for a second and say that everybody's healthy. It was still going to be an adjustment because as we hit on the top, you know, when you have 10 new bodies and only 4 returning players, there was going to be a feeling out process, especially after a shorter preseason where there's only 4 games and most of the guys only played in 2 or 3. You know, it wasn't going to be this seamless transition out of the 07-08 Celtics. It was going to feel a lot more like the first year that LeBron went to Miami in 2010, or 4 years later, or 5 years later when he went to Cleveland in 2014. It was, you know, this team was going to already projected to kind of flirt with 500 for a little while, and then after that, maybe by January, break out and be on cruise control the rest of the way. Yeah. Now, because we don't have that, you're probably looking at an even bigger adjustment. And Brad Stevens, you know, everything that they practiced for the most part is out the window. You know, training camp is out the window. The rotations that they had come up with, the units that they had come up with, everything is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. They are reinventing this thing on the fly. And the fact that they have to start with 3 games in 4 nights right out of the gate, including a back-to-back, you know, obviously in the wake of the Hayward injury, makes it all that much tougher. So it's kind of crazy to think they could be 2-0 right now. They're 0-2, we know that.
Yeah.
But they held leads in the fourth quarter of both of these games. It was somehow in Cleveland. I don't even know how that's possible. And really, they should have beaten Milwaukee. They shouldn't have blown that one down the stretch.
Right.
So they should go to Philadelphia on Friday. They should win that game. It should be too troubling. But then after that, I mean, this was already kind of a gauntlet out of the gate with 7 road games out of the first 11. You know, if we're sitting here and this team is 11 games in, it's like 4-7, that shouldn't be a surprise. You know, you shouldn't be alarmed by that. It's going to take a little while to get everything going the right way.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I will say I love the heart from them in Cleveland after that injury to kind of, you know, and then they were down, I think, 18 in the second half, right? And they
fought
18. Their way back, and, you know, obviously they didn't win, but
took a lead, though.
Yeah, they did. So, you know, I was pretty impressed by that, and I, you know, hopefully that's a sign of good things to come. So we'll see. So, well, thank you for coming on. Do you want to just tell people where they can find you?
Sure. All over the place. At Adam and Kaufman is the easiest place. You know, I'll tweet up a storm, as you guys know. And if you don't follow me, you'll find me eventually. And, you know, beyond that, on WBZ AM Monday to Friday in the mornings, on the Sports Hub always Saturday morning and other times around that as well. DraftKings TV, just trying to stay busy, my man.
There you go. Getting it done. Well, you're great, and we really appreciate you having you coming on, and you're definitely one of the one of the top Celtics guys in the area. So we definitely appreciate that. So,
no, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, you too.
All right, so that was an awesome interview. So cool of him to come on. Really, one of the main, I think, one of the main Celtics guys in the city for sure.
Oh yeah.
So that was pretty cool, and I thought it came out really good. So. But one thing I wanted to follow up on, or we wanted to follow up on here, you know, besides the Warriors and the Cavs, because the Warriors are obviously the best team in the NBA, clearly, right? And the Cavs, you would certainly looks like, are the best team in the East. So then beyond that, I guess, like, you know, who do we think the best teams are beyond that? It's interesting to look at because the West seems to be stacked. But it kind of sucks because I can't see any one of those teams beating Golden State.
I can see the Spurs.
Really?
Beating them, yeah. Because it wasn't a playing field last year.
Right, because Kawhi was out, right?
Yeah, Pachulia, you know, cheap shot of them and he got hurt.
Yeah.
True. I think the Spurs. I think Kawhi's on a different level right now. He's my MVP pick.
Okay.
For the season.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I like the Spurs a lot. But I the Rockets, you know, two losers on that team.
I think Chris Paul. I just think Chris Paul is so freaking overrated. It's unbelievable.
He's one of the most overrated players of all time.
People love that guy. And I'm like, he's good, but he's not the best player in the league or anything like that. People talk about him like he's fantastic.
No. Then you got the Sonics, who are good. I'm not calling them that other name.
I was going to say, I'm like, the Sonics are back? And I'm like, I want to talk about the Thunder. I'm like, well, right. Okay. Yep. All right.
Can't do it. No, they look good. But, you know, Russ could still average a triple-double.
He could. He could, couldn't he? I mean,
he's going to score a ton of points. He'll get a ton of assists.
Yeah.
The thing that worries me about them is the bench.
Right.
Isn't that great?
Right.
But they're starting fives up there with, you know, top.
Well, I mean,
top three,
adding
five.
Paul George is legit.
Even with, like, Andre Roberson as their shooting guard.
Mm.
But George, Carmelo, and Steven Adams, who I like a lot, so.
Yeah.
I like them. But in the East.
We'll see about Carmelo. I think he's a loser, too. I mean.
But he's in a good situation.
That's true. That is very true.
He's not the number one player. He's the number three player on the team.
That's a good point. That is a good point. You know? You're right about that. Yeah.
So he's in a really good situation. In the East, I like Milwaukee a lot, as we saw last night.
Giannis is just a freaking monster. That guy, dude, is ridiculous. Just remember, Celtics fans, just remember that you drafted Kelly Olynyk over that guy. Just remember that.
Yep.
That just makes me sick every time I think of
Dallas,
him. Every time I see him.
Dallas drafted Olynyk, and I think we traded, I don't know if we traded down to get him or traded up.
Yeah, you're right.
But still,
he was there.
And, oh man.
Brutal. Brutal.
I was saying it during that draft time. I was watching his scout videos on Draft Express, and I was like, pick this guy up. This guy is, he's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's playing against like 6 foot tall little Greek guys,
right.
But, you know, well, still, he's still doing unbelievable things.
It's one of the things about the international thing that's so hard to do because you just don't know.
Yeah.
Right. I remember Yi, you know, the hilarious thing with Yi where he's playing against a chair. And you're like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the best you can do is a chair to be your defender? Like, you can't even have your coach out here? It's just like, you know, but he got drafted in the top 10. It's just like, what the hell are we doing? You know, but it's some of those guys hit and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is, man, it makes you sick to see that. So I think the Wizards, too, should be in the mix.
Who else? Charlotte looks okay. Miami, they'll be like an 8 seed, maybe.
Right.
And then Toronto.
And Toronto.
Who else you got about Toronto?
Yeah.
But,
well, because they have Lowry and DeRozan. Lowry, assuming he stays healthy the rest of the year, you know?
You know, you could make an argument. They're the best combo in the East.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean,
because
who knows?
LeBron has nobody.
Right. And Isaiah Thomas will be back, but what will he be like? Will the hip affect him?
Right.
Will affect him long term?
Do you think it could get to the point where they might think they're better off with Derrick Rose?
If Derrick Rose lasts.
If he's having like a... Well, I don't know. But if he's having a really good year by the time...
Yeah. Well, they certainly could.
Thomas
comes back.
You know what? Contract year, they could end up trading Thomas.
Yeah. It's true. It's very true. Oh, he'd be pissed if that happened, dude. What if they traded him back to the Celtics?
I don't think that would
happen.
What if they train them back to Sacramento?
Oh, my God.
Phoenix.
That'd be wild, right? So, well, Phoenix actually is a good young team. Like, they could actually use someone like that in their locker room because they do have some young, you know, they got Booker and a few good players there.
Yeah.
So, it's a, you know, that's not outside the realm of possibility. You're right if Rose can stay healthy. You know?
Another team in the East is the Sixers. I like them a lot.
They come out of nowhere. And again, that's another team. Like, it's all predicated on health, right? And the Celtics, you were like, oh, they'll be fine. And of course, Hayward goes down the first freaking, you know,
5 minutes. It was like 5 minutes and 14 seconds.
He didn't even come out of the game
like
yet, obviously, right? It was, it was like the first stint he was in. It was brutal. So, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? But that's the way it goes. Everything's changed, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. It should be interesting. It will make it fun. I think for the Celtics, I'm still hoping for them to make the playoffs and be a top 4 to 5 seed is what I'm hoping for. You know, Adam kind of alluded, we talked about it a little bit. I don't think they're that much worse than they were last year at this time. And so, you know, especially if Brown can really develop and if Tatum comes along and if Semi becomes a legit defender. And I mean, it's tough to make that leap into the NBA as a rookie, as a defender. But you never know. I mean, if he does, now you're looking at potentially, you know, guys coming off the bench that are good defenders, energy guys like Smart. And so now you can start looking at it and saying, okay, they should win somewhere in that vicinity of 45 to 50 games and could be the 4 or 5 seed, you know?
Mm-hmm. A huge year for Kyrie because he's essentially like
the main guy. He's the guy.
Which, I mean, when he was in Cleveland before LeBron came back, he was the guy, but, you know,
the
expectations weren't as high.
Right. And they also had trash
around him. Well, yeah, they had trash around him.
You know?
It's a big year for him. Should be interesting.
It should be, yeah. And, you know, I think Jaylen Brown makes that leap this year, I hope. It certainly looks like he's going to. And Tatum, as I said to Adam, looks like he's above where Brown was last year. So we'll see. Should be a fun year, and you know, can't let the injury kind of dampen us too much. So
who's your MVP pick?
Man, that Kawhi pick sounds really good. Mm-hmm. I like that pick, but I don't know, man. Maybe James Harden? Could be James Harden this year, dude. Now he's got a legit point guard that can facilitate him the ball. Yeah. He may score even more than he did last year. You know, and if they go off the scoring, you know, it could be him. I mean, who knows? It could be. How about this? It could be LeBron again.
I was just going to say that, yeah, because it's back to being just LeBron.
Right. You know, he could put up those ridiculous. And I know he had a great season last year, and Westbrook just had a ridiculous season.
Yeah,
and
there's no way you couldn't.
Yeah, you know, there were Westbrook people arguing that LeBron should have won it last year and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Look, we understand LeBron's the greatest player in the game. Mm-hmm. That's obvious, okay? You put him on any team, and they're instantly probably in the conference finals every single year, no matter what. But the question becomes, you know, for him, when does he step out above and beyond? And I think this could be that year where he kind of jumps to what he was doing before when there was no one around him. So we'll see. That should be interesting to see. So let's shift gears into the NFL. And man, that Patriots game was interesting, to say the least, against the Jets.
They suck.
Oh my god, dude. I was screaming all around at the TV, man. 14-0. I'm like, are you shitting me? Brady with a terrible throw. It's just, you know, it's kind of nonstop for them. You just look at it and you're just like, you're just dying. I'm just fucking dying inside watching them. Like, how could they possibly be losing 14-0 to the freaking Jets? It's disgusting is what it was. And, I mean, they obviously pulled out the victory, but that Safarian Jenkins call, I'll tell you what, man. I think that call is more controversial than the Tuck rule.
No, it's
100%.
Well, I mean, like,
and here's why.
If you look at the context,
context, but in a vacuum, I think it's a much more controversial call than the Tuck rule.
Because,
but the Tuck rule. Go ahead.
I know it's the right call. What they did,
it's not though. See, I disagree.
In the rule book, it's not.
No, I disagree with that. So, see, here's the thing about the Tuck rule. The Tuck rule was the rule.
Right.
Right? He brings the ball forward. He pulls it in. As he's doing that, he gets hit. It's an incomplete pass. It's clearly an incomplete pass. They had called it earlier in the season with the Jets, as a matter of fact, which is interesting. And so, like, that was an obvious call, I thought. Now, it took a lot of balls to do that. I get that. But however stupid the rule was, it was the right call. For me, the Severian Jenkins one was called a touchdown on the field. There has to be indisputable evidence.
Oh, yeah. Right? I agree with that.
And listen, I can make a very strong case for the fact that that was a fumble. A very strong case.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I can't tell you 100% with 100% certainty. And because of that, you can't overturn the penalty. Look, he obviously lost possession of the ball. I think that's obvious to see. Mm-hmm. You can see it on the clip. You can see it on the super slow-mo. There's a million pictures. You can see that. Does he have the ball when he crosses the plane? I don't know. And neither does anybody else. And so, without knowing that information, how can you then turn around and say, no, it's a fumble out of bounds?
Yeah, isn't that what they do with challenges? If they don't have...
Right.
You know,
I think the word is incontrovertible evidence, I believe, is what they say, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't
they can't overturn it.
Right. It's just... So that, to me, I think, again, I think, did they get the call right? Probably. Is that what happened? I would think that there's a good chance that that's what happened. But the thing is that it doesn't matter what you think there's a good chance of. It matters what you can prove and what actually happened. And, you know, you don't know for sure. And so, to me, you couldn't have overturned that. It was the totally wrong call. And the Jets got screwed. And, you know, who knows what happens if he scores that touchdown. So...
Well, it was a 9.5-point spread. Patriots are up 10 at the time.
Yep. I mean, right now. Patriots didn't cover anyway, so whatever. No, but it's just, but I'll tell you what, man. It's, it's definitely interesting. You look at that and you're like, uh-oh, not good.
Yeah, so what's with the offense just being Brady throwing it up in the air like an alley-oop?
I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible. The offense.
That's what they've become.
It's really, I have no idea what the hell they're doing. I don't get it. I know they lost Edelman, so maybe they're trying to scramble for it, but like, they have enough options that they should be getting rid of the ball quick, throwing those short, quick passes like they always do, that just kills defenses, and no one has an answer for it, and they're just, they're not doing it, which is driving me insane, and I don't understand why they're not doing it, and so it's really become an issue, and we'll see what happens, but if they're really going to go far, they have to fix that. And I get, maybe you think Cooks needs more time, so you need to do a five-step drop and give him time to get down the field. That's fine. But you still have to have those options where you can throw it quick. You right. have to have that. And if you don't, it's crazy, I think. So, you know, we'll see. I'd like to see them take less shots down the field, like you say. I mean, it just, that seems nuts to me.
Isn't that kind of offense where they can just, you know, chuck it downfield and, you know, think you're going to get like an 80-yard play. You
right.
know? I think they should be more of what they used to be in the last few years, really. Actually, right. like 2010 is my go-to. I think that was one of the best offenses they ever had.
Right.
Brady won MVP.
And he was just quick passes, quick get it passes, out, boom, yeah. boom, 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 boom.
And you know? They're built like that.
Right, right.
You know, so I don't get, they still don't have a deep threat. They haven't had a deep threat since Moss.
Right, and Cooks has tons of speed, and so does Dorsett. He's
dropping a lot of balls lately.
He has been dropping balls, which is not good.
No.
But we'll see. I think that's mental for him. I think he'll be okay because I think in the long run he'll be fine. He'll be catching balls, but mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a concern right now. So yeah. we'll see what happens. I mean, but I think the Patriots overall will be okay. It's just a question of what's going to happen. Gilmore's not playing again this week, and you know, does he have Julio Jones-itis this week? I don't know. Like Julio's coming to town, so he can't play all of a sudden. I'm not sure what it is. It's weird. They said he had a concussion from the game on Thursday night, but he practiced for a full week and didn't tell anyone. And all of a sudden on Friday was like, hey, by the way, I've been having headaches. Like, it just doesn't smell right. You know, there's nothing going on because no one from the organization is like, you know, nothing's gotten leaked out. Like, they're not happy with him or he hasn't been doing. It just seems like he's hurt, but it's just a weird circumstance where he gets hurt. Like right at the end of the week, they get hurt in like a walkthrough. Like, what the hell happened?
Maybe he saw something in practice.
Yeah, maybe, right? Maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe he was trying to play through it and they were like, you know, you're just, something's not right. So they tested him and I don't know. You know, I have no idea, but it just seems a little fishy. And, you know, with the Falcons coming to town, with the weapons that they have to not have your number one corner is tough. And, you know, on the same side, I mean, Butler has not been playing great this year. So it becomes a question of what the hell are you going to do with Julio and Sanu? If Sanu play, I think Sanu is going to play, although I'm not sure. But even Taylor Gabriel's got tons of speed. He burned Butler for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's really going to be an interesting thing as how they handle it this week. So, but I don't know. I mean, look, it's interesting. I will say what's interesting about the NFL is the parity this year. It's crazy. I mean, maybe that part of that is because the Patriots haven't been so good, but like the Jaguars, the Steelers, the Jets, for God's sakes. Yeah. Now the Packers lose Rodgers, so there's no clear-cut favorite in the NFC. I guess it's the Eagles. I guess you have to say it's the Eagles. They've been playing really well, yeah. Or is it like the Rams or maybe the Seahawks? Because they've been there, but they've looked crappy. Like, I don't know. I mean, who the hell is it? You know?
This league sucks.
So it's like, so the NFC, there's no one really great in it.
No.
The AFC was the Chiefs, but they looked like crap last week against the Steelers. They just won the week before, you know, on a basically 2-minute drive at the end of the game to win that game. So like, so they haven't been blowing teams out either. So it's like, what the heck's going on? You know? So, and the Steelers, I'm sorry, dude. I think the Steelers suck. You know,
Ben seems done. I think this is it.
And when they won that game last week, they had great defense, and Roethlisberger played pretty well. And the week before, he threw 5 picks against Jacksonville. And you're like, well, what the hell's going on? You know,
he never shows up in shape. Every year, he gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And I know that's like kind of his style, I guess. Like, he's a big quarterback who's built big.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at Brady. You know? And
he's in great shape. And that's the thing is that, How is Roethlisberger's body going to hold up long term? Because he's clearly
don't have anyone behind them. Was it Landry Jones or Josh? Not Josh Cribbs. Who's the other rookie backup they have? I think he's a rookie. Something like that.
I can't think of what his name is. But yeah, they do have another guy, I believe. So, you know, so we'll see. But then, you know, and the other, it's just who the hell knows. And even the Falcons, who are 3-2 now and blew fourth quarter leads to the Jets and the Dolphins at home. Both those games are at home.
No, the Bills.
I said the Jets. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. The Bills and the Dolphins, they blew home games to with fourth quarter leads. I mean, that's unbelievable. And, you know, dude, they haven't learned from their mistake. They lost the Super Bowl because they refused to run the football. They were up 17-0 on the Miami Dolphins at halftime. You don't know how many times they ran the ball in the second half, the entire second half, 30 minutes of football. You know how many running plays they called?
How many?
Four.
Four.
Four running plays. They were up 17-0, and they called four running plays in the second half. What are you doing?
How do you?
It's just like, that's so incredibly stupid. To know, I mean, like, it's the same shit they did in the Super Bowl, and they didn't learn right, from
because
it.
Because it seems like they can't close out games. Because, you know, you're going to be throwing a football to score another touchdown and get your insurance points. But then when you can't score, then what do? You're supposed to, you know, work off the clock.
They could easily be 1-4. I mean, Jordan Howard drops a touchdown pass at the 1 yard line with like a minute left to go in the game, in the Bears game, and they lose, right? So that's one win that would be taken away. And then the Golden Tate play, which we talked about a little bit when it happened, that play disgusts me. I mean, you talk about wanting to change rules. I mean, that's one of the worst rules I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, Tate gets tackled near the end zone, and, you know, and they do a 10-second runoff because they reviewed it and didn't get in. It's like, what are you kidding me? So actually, I had an idea about this, which I thought was interesting. Because they talked about, so after the Severian Jenkins thing, and I guess it kind of relates back to the Severian Jenkins thing, people have been bitching that if you fumble out of the end zone, it's a touchback, and it shouldn't be a touchback, which I think is stupid because that's an awesome rule. Like, don't fumble at the goal line.
Gives you incentive to not.
Well, it does, right? Up. And the other part of it, too, is that if you're diving towards the end zone with the ball out, well, it gives you an incentive not to do that. Because now it's like, well, if you don't get there and someone knocks it out of your hand and it goes out of bounds, now it's a touchback to get the ball back. So, you know, I think it helps out the defense. And there's already so many rules that help out the offense. They don't need this one coming back either. Yeah. So I like that rule. Again, I thought the call sucked, but I like that rule. But the Golden Tate one, which, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, Golden Tate gets tackled the 1-inch line, and they call it a touchdown originally on the field. And there's 8 seconds left to go when the play ends. So they review it. He doesn't get in. Well, the ruling says because the clock is running, it's a 10-second runoff. And usually it doesn't matter because they have a timeout. They just call a timeout, no big deal. Well, they had no timeouts left. Mm-hmm. There's 8 seconds left on the game clock, 10-second runoff, game's over. And it's like, are you fucking kidding? They're at the 1-inch line. And not only that, but everyone's right there. So, like, they could have gotten to the line and gotten a playoff. It's possible. Now, maybe they don't. I don't like but the it's runoff. Possible.
Because, well, I mean, they could have just started the clock, you know, right when.
Right. And so the thing is, right? So here's the thing, right? Is that you can't. I understand the point where you don't want to line them back up. I get that.
Yeah, I get that.
And maybe it's a long pass play, like, fine. But, you know, when you look at something like that and you say, okay, what are we doing? You know? So for me, here's my take on it. Put them in the huddle, right? Tell them, okay, you have to be 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Put them in the huddle and say, okay, I'm going to blow the whistle. When I blow the whistle, the clock starts and you can break the huddle, right? So the team's in the huddle. They're ready to go. Boom, clock starts. They got to get to the line. So if there's 2 seconds left, you're not going to get a playoff.
Yeah.
But if there's 8 seconds left, you're going to be able to get a playoff. It just seems ridiculous that you're not allowed to get another playoff because they screwed up the call on the field, right? If they call Tate down and they get to the line and run another play, maybe they win the game.
Yeah.
You know, and you're taking that opportunity away from them because of some ridiculous rule. So that one to me should be changed. And I like the idea of throwing them in the huddle and doing that. So, you know, so we'll see. But who knows? But the parity has been nuts in this league. It really has been crazy. So, you know, so we'll see what happens. But I think overall, long term, I don't know who challenges the Patriots. I mean, obviously the Chiefs, but I don't trust Andy Reid in the playoffs. The Steelers.
Patriots going to make the playoffs first. They don't look like a playoff team. I think Atlanta's going to tear them apart.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, I mean, look, based on the way the Patriots have played so far, I think you could certainly make an argument about that. I think Atlanta, though, is done. I think they're done.
I don't know.
I think they're going to come in here, the Super Bowl is in the back of their head. That's all they're thinking about. It's sure, there. Like, it's going to be all week this week. The Patriots are going to be asking about Patriots, Super Bowl, and they're going to come out laying egg. That's what I think is going to happen. And maybe the Patriots don't beat them so much as they just don't show up. I could be totally wrong about that, but that's the way I feel about that.
We've been talking about whenever we talked about the Patriots, that tough stretch they have
right
coming up at the end of the bye. Year,
for sure.
In the middle of the year, right?
Yeah, well, they got the five out of six road games. Yeah.
Like you have to go now with every game that goes by, they need to have a better record through those, six games.
That's true. Although they're winning. I mean, they are still
it's not like a win is a win right now. They're just not, they almost lost to the Jets. They almost lost to Tampa. They could easily be,
right.
What?
1-5.
1-5 right now.
Or no. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. 2-well, yeah, I suppose.
The only game that they outright won was the Saints game.
That's true. That is true. So they could be 1-5. You're right about mm-hmm. that. So, but they're not.
No, they're not.
And as Bill Parcells says, you are what you are. So, we'll see. I mean, you're right. It's a long season. They do have a really tough stretch of 5 out of 6 on the road. So we'll see what happens. But, I think it'll be interesting. I still don't trust Andy Reid long term. I still don't trust Alex Smith long term. I still don't trust Big Ben long term. I don't think the Steelers hold up. I think the Patriots crush the Steelers if they play them because their freaking zone defense sucks and they'll never beat the Patriots with that zone defense. So, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who the hell knows, right?
It's but not helping is the division is better this year.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Everyone's playing well.
Right. Which is shocking.
Miami's had some bad games, but
the freaking Dolphins, dude. The fact that they beat the Falcons with Jay Cutler. I mean, the Patriots lose to the Falcons after Jay Cutler and the Dolphins beat them on the road. Mm-hmm. I'll be really fucking pissed. I'll tell you that much. So, we'll see. Who knows, But that's interesting. So I do have, we do have the Cousin Evan pick of the week this week for you. He took an L last week. Took an L. He bet the Broncos, and the Broncos lost. But here's what I'll tell you, okay, about Cousin Evan. He's batting 57% this year. Batting .570. And the parity, and we talked about the parity in this league, man. Between the Steelers and the Chiefs and all these other teams, and who the hell knows who's going to win on which week. The freaking Jets are 3-3. The Patriots are 4-2. Like, who the hell knows what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. The Giants are 1-5, for Christ's sake. No one knows what the hell's going on. And he's hitting .570. I mean, 57%, that's pretty damn good for the year. And so he's pretty consistent. So in my opinion, he's a guy you want to listen to. He's got this week the Browns +6. The Browns at home against the Tennessee Titans, who just look like a shell of themselves. And I realize they beat, they beat the Colts pretty good on Monday Night Football. But not really. They scored a long touchdown at the end of the game to win that game, and it is the Colts, so who knows. But that's who he's got, the Browns +6 at home this week against Tennessee. That is presented by MyBookie.ag. Okay, that's the Cousin Evan pick of the week, lock of the week, I should say, is presented by MyBookie.ag. If you give their promo code Warrior on MyBookie.ag, they're going to match your deposit 100%. So go on MyBookie.ag, type in the promo code Warrior, and they're going to match whatever you put in 100%, which is pretty sweet. So do that and bet the Browns +6 this week against Tennessee. What I want to go to is the play you missed this week, because I think this one's one that really fucking grinds my gears, man. And it's the Colts Titans game. And I'll tell you what, man, the Colts they're down, and there's 2:15 left to go when Tennessee gets the ball back. Okay, Colts got all 3 timeouts. So, stop them, get the ball back, right? It was pretty good. You get all 3 timeouts, and you get the 2-minute warning. So, the Titans run the first play, and the Colts don't call timeout. And 15 seconds runs off the clock, and it goes to the 2-minute warning. I don't get it. I don't get it. You just lost 15 seconds. What are you doing? Like, you could have called timeout there, and then you would have had the 2-minute. It's just like, it doesn't make any freaking sense.
Strategy.
Like, it's just so incredibly stupid. I just, stuff like that drives me insane, because you lost 15 seconds of time there. Now, it didn't matter because Derrick Henry runs for a 70-something yard touchdown run and they lose by 2 touchdowns. But either way, you lose 15. I mean, you got 2 minutes left, and you lose. You just like, wow. We don't need that 15 seconds. Like, are you fucking crazy? Like, what are you doing? So that one drives me nuts, and I see it happen all the time where they need to get the ball back, and they're like, oh, well, the 2 minute warning is coming up in 20 seconds. We're just gonna let the clock run, and it's like, what are you thinking? It's just it's mind-numbingly stupid.
I can see them just. I mean, yeah. But I can see where they're coming from, I guess. Just use the timeouts after the two-minute warning.
But you got to use the timeouts anyways.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean...
Right?
I don't know. I guess it means more after the two-minute warning.
No, but it does. That was first down. So, okay, first down, you call a timeout, right?
Yeah.
Second down, they run the ball. You call a timeout again. Third down, they run the ball. If they don't get it...
Two-minute warning.
Now you let it go to the two-minute warning.
Yeah.
So now you get the ball back right after the two-minute warning. It's like...
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer in that situation to call a timeout before the two. I mean, think about it this way, right? Let's say there was no 2 2-minute warning, right? Let's say the 2 minute warning didn't exist.
Like college.
Okay, right, like college.
But first downs is a timeout.
That's true. But either way, let's just say
that. I like that.
Well, it's not a timeout. This is a clock stop.
Yeah.
Right? So everyone gets the line, right? So imagine if there's no 2 minute warning and they have the ball. I have the ball with 2:15 left. Right? And you have 4 timeouts instead of 3. Let's just say you have 4 timeouts instead of 3 timeouts because we'll give you the extra one, right? I run the first play. Are you going to let the clock run 15 seconds before you call a timeout?
Call timeout, 2:13 left.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, like, why in the world would you then waste that 15 seconds? I don't care the 2 minute warning's there. Just don't waste the fucking 15 seconds. Just
try to be too smart. Like Bill O'Brien did it a couple of weeks ago against the Patriots.
Right.
You know,
right?
You blow the game that way. These guys just try to outsmart themselves. They, you know, they look at Belichick, and I am by no means a Belichick fanboy, but, like, they look at him as, like,
oh, their, why not? Keep going. Keep
but anyways, Parcells is better. Anyways.
Okay.
But they look at him, they're like, wow, look at what he's doing. Let's be more like him.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you need to have, a brain.
Right.
And well, a lot of these guys have like a football IQ.
Yeah.
And sure, these guys do, but if you don't know how to use a timeout.
Right. Well, he would never let that happen.
No.
Never let that happen.
No.
So, you know, we'll see. I mean,
We might be complaining about him if Malcolm Butler doesn't intercept that ball.
Well, it's true, but you know what's interesting, and we talked about that already, but he fucking pushed Pete Carroll into that. I mean, think about that. They get the ball, second and goal at the 1 yard line, and he bullies Pete Carroll into making a stupid play call.
I know.
It's just like, what other coach can do that? You know, like somehow he's in charge at second and goal at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of
his predecessor as Patriots coach,
right?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh my lord! I mean, think about that. Dude. It's the best game Pete Carroll ever won for the Patriots. It's just, it's unbelievable, and that's what Bill does. I mean, he really just. He's so cool and calm and collected, and it's just how he does it. I mean, even with the Andy Reid drive, and I call it the Andy Reid drive in the Super Bowl, last Super Bowl, they're taking their time, slow and methodical, and I'm like, are you shitting me? What the hell are you doing? And it turned out it was the thing the offense needed. It killed the defense. They were dying. And so, you know, it was the right thing they needed. But at the time, everyone that's a Patriots fan screaming at the television, like, you're down 25 points. Like, move, you know? And it just...
I've talked about it before, rewatching Super Bowl 39 and looking at the Eagles. Well, I think they were down 10.
Oh, God.
And they just took their time.
It was unbelievable.
Eventually scored a touchdown.
McNabb's puking on the
side. Like a 7-minute drive where there's no urgency.
Right. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Yeah. So, you know, so we'll see. But that was wild. So, I think that... And that about does it. Anything? Oh, no, it doesn't. Because the fucking Yankees, I don't know when you listen to this, but the goddamn fucking Yankees are going to be in the freaking World Series.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. No. I guarantee
it. Verlander going
Houston
tomorrow.
Is cooked. They're done. I'm telling you right now. Put it on the board. Yankees in the World
Series. The Yankees don't play well on the road because they've won once on the road in the playoffs. They're 6-0 at home.
All they're going to do is win one more time.
Yeah, I would give Houston a good chance to win that game, I think. The series. I think Houston's going to win the series.
They might. They might. But even if they win, tomorrow night? I think they're playing Friday night. You know, I still think, I mean, it's game 7. Who knows what happens game 7, I suppose. But you also, Houston's hitting like 150 this series. So, you know, like, as a team. Right, so,
but, they get Verlander against Severino tomorrow. Verlander pitched a gem in game two.
Right.
With the distance.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I mean, if Verlander can do that, then they have a shot in game seven.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I just can't see the Yankees winning on the road.
I personally think the Yankees
I don't think this team has it. I don't think this is one of those Yankees teams.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
I don't think they're...
Dude, they were down 4-0 in the seventh inning.
No, I know. And they came back and won, right? But
yeah, I think the...
I don't think they have the balls, if you would, as the old Yankee teams.
I think they showed the Yankees some pretty aura. Big balls. I hate the fucking Yankees, but I think... I'm putting on the board right now, they're in the goddamn World Series. Those fucking... And then if it's Dodgers-Yankees, who the hell do I root for?
You gotta go to lesser two evils.
Brutal, Dodgers. Right? I guess, but God damn, dude.
Theo loves being down 3-0 in series.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Never know. He's got him right where he wants him, right?
Yep.
Oh, God. So, all right. So, that actually does it. We're going to do two quick This Week in Sports Histories. Number one is today, October 19th, 1966. Number four, Bobby Orr makes his NHL debut against the Red Wings. Of course, records an assist. Why not? He was 18, by the way, at the time when he did that. And did you know, quick fun fact here, that Bobby Orr actually wore number 27 during the preseason?
Yeah, I knew that.
I'm sure obviously you knew that, but I wore number 30, I didn't know that.
I think he wore 33 as well.
He might have. Yeah. They offered him 5 and he took 4. So, interesting. Interesting little tidbit there. Mm-hmm. And then October 21st, 1975, that is the Carlton Fisk Game 6 home run in the World Series, you know, where he's pushing it fair and everything.
Greatest baseball game ever played.
Wild, right? And Robin Williams missed it because he had to see about a girl. But, you know,
that's
the way it goes. So,
Two underrated parts of that
yes.
game. Bernie Carbo's home run to tie it, I think, in the 8th. Yep. It might have been the 9th. And then the greatest catch ever by Dwight Evans.
The greatest catch ever.
In, I think, the 10th inning, I want to say. I don't know. I know it was late in the game. I know that. It's... I forget who hit it. Might have been Cesar Geronimo. He, like, in right field, he, like, reaches over, makes this impossible catch, throws it the first. It was a terrible throw. It was, like, 30 feet off.
Yeah.
But it was a double play because the runners were just going.
Oh,
because
the runners were going, right?
Yeah, so.
Wild. Wild. Well.
Great play.
All right.
Great
okay.
game. One of the,
you got it
probably
here,
the
man.
Greatest baseball game ever. And real quick, this week in music history.
Yes.
Tomorrow, the 40th anniversary of the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. So.
Really? 40
peace,
years,
Leonard
huh?
Yeah.
R.I.P. in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. Crazy. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, we are all over the place. You can find us. We're actually on Facebook now as well. Weekend Warrior Podcast on Facebook. We have a page on Facebook, so you can like us there and follow us there. We're also on Twitter, and you can email us as well. So our Twitter handle and email are the same. So it's Weekend War Pod. So with no E's, though. So the email is weekendwknd@gmail.com. And the Twitter handle, again, is the same. It's @weekendwarpod, no E. So WKNDWARPOD. So you can tweet us. You know, you can email us. We'd appreciate it. Oh, and also, please, you know, listen to us wherever. Obviously, listen to us right now, but listen to us wherever. If you send us a review, a 5-star review, preferably on iTunes, but anywhere you listen, we're on Stitcher, we're on Pod Paradise, where we have our own website, we're on Overcast, we're on a bunch of different websites and a bunch of different apps you can listen to podcasts on. But if you do leave us a 5-star review, we will send you a little bag of goodies or something like that. Mm. So we'd appreciate that. And you know, just take a screenshot of that, send us a DM or email it to us. We'd really appreciate that, and you know, kind of get the name out there a little bit. So yeah. So you know, thanks for listening, and you know, again, email us. Send us a tweet, or perhaps, right, perhaps, you know, you're living in squalor, and your only joy comes from the Candyman, okay? And, you know, the Candyman decides, or is told by someone that he's going to release some golden tickets inside of some very special candy bars, and perhaps, you use your last dollar to buy that candy bar, and unbelievably, it's a golden ticket to come and talk to us and see us. Okay, and we'll take you on a little tour and a little adventure. And unbeknownst to you, of course, right, you are actually going to be the chosen one over everyone else. over Violet and Timmy and the fat kid who drinks out of the... Right, right. Yeah, that's him. Yep, yep. And, you know, and at the end, we'll pretend like we don't actually care. But we do. We do care. And we'll turn this whole thing over to you, maybe just for a moment, right, with your email or tweet. But nevertheless, we'll let you take this where you want it to go with your email and tweet. So we'd appreciate that. Get back to us, and we'll see you next week.